This is Lauren Bond, and welcome to Dub Labs Out There. Imagine a soundscape that not only stimulates your auditory senses, but also connects us with the more than human world. Metabolic Sonic's groundbreaking practice, in which we have literally broken through the concrete of the LA River, fuses the machine with the biological.
Thank you. morning, everyone, and welcome. We really appreciate your presence with us today. I would love to introduce, and we're very honored to have Marcos Avila, co-founder and executive director to Ana Vaca Vega. He will open the program today with an acknowledgement. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'd like to thank, on behalf of Ana Vaca Vega, Metabolic, and Lauren, and Nini, and everybody else that's been working on this era of human history. And I'd like to thank the original peoples first. So we'll recognize all the original peoples in this territory in our way. Chief Vera Yana Rocha is one of the elders that guided us as young people in defending the sage fields and defending what is still natural about Los Angeles. And with her guidance, we opened a school over 20 years ago called Ana Vaca Vega in East Los Angeles. And Metabolic has been supporting us for several years now to help us provide that access to indigenous education in Los Angeles for indigenous children and families. We're the only school after 20 years, we're the only indigenous people school in Los Angeles, although we shouldn't be the only one because Los Angeles is one of the capitals, demographically speaking, of American Indians in the United States, and certainly across the hemisphere of indigenous peoples. But the original peoples of this territory come from many villages, one of which is Yagna, here locally. When Chief Vera Rocha guided us as young people, times were very different. Recognition of their nations was very different. And today there are more than seven tribal leaderships that represent the nations of the many, many villages that existed prior to colonization and even after colonization that continued to exist, that then became rancherias, that became reservations, that were not too far from here. There were reservations that were subsequently, after the government's transition so many times in this territory, those reservations would push farther and farther, literally off the coast. And the islanders were brought into the mainland and forced to live here. There was so much disorder, so much chaos, but from all of that, throughout all of that, the original peoples continued to thrive, continued to exist, continued to defend themselves, continued to live and love. But the stories are that the territory and the places that they visited no longer looked the same, became unrecognizable. Even though they knew where something ought to be, other people that had come to settle had changed it. All of these tribal governments that exist here in the city that's now called Los Angeles are practicing their self-determination and sovereignty. The Gabrielino Tongas, the Gabrielino Quiche, the Gabrielino Shoshone, which is a nation of Vero Rocha's descendancy. And her ancestry goes back directly to the revolt against the San Gabriel Mission in 1785. And the records indicate that their leadership was punished since 1785 by the Spanish Inquisition, which was ruling this territory at that time. Some people might think of the Spanish Inquisition as something that happens on TV or something that happened, you know, in Spain or somewhere farther south in Latin America. But the original peoples of this territory were subjected to the Spanish Inquisition. And then later were subjected to the American Inquisition. The declaration of the need for genocide and the establishment of the state of California. So as survivors of genocide, we recognize them and the power and the resurgence that they represent. What a beautiful problem for people that have settled this territory to now have to figure out, oh, who do I talk to? The Gabrielino Quiche, the Gabrielino Tongva, or the Gabrielino Shoshone? What if you had no one to talk to? What if that problem didn't exist because they had all been eradicated or pushed off and not survived, and that memory had not survived? So let's deal with the complications. Let's not ourselves try to colonize them into some new sort of ideological reservation that is more comfortable for us to deal with. And let's be comfortable with that discomfort of the realities of colonization continuing. That river is still channeled, still enslaved. That river has life. My people come from Mexico, and Vera and others, like Tata Rudy Ortega of the Tatavia Nation as an elder, senior, and now Tata Rudy Ortega, chairman of the Tatavia Nation, has embraced us. We're here as Nahua people, respectfully recognizing that ancestral relationship that we have through our languages and through this entire continent, which exists without borders. And recognizing that ancestral tie, we think of the life of the river as both a woman and a man. Now I'm going to sing a song here to give thanks to that giver of life and also to give thanks to those that take our life. Because that same giver of life takes our life and we become a part of this universe again and return in the rain and appear in the clouds and are a part of the mist and the whirlwinds that join us every day. And we thank the little ones that live underneath the ground and those that fly and those that crawl themselves around and those that drag their belly on the ground. and those on 4 feet, and those on 2 feet, and those we don't see, the Yehekame, the guardians, the Nikan Chaneke. I know you're all special people because you're here understanding the importance of what the river means to this land, to the original peoples, and to the people that live in Los Angeles now. But the one thing we can't deny is that there's still not enough water for everybody that's here. 2 weeks ago, I was in Guerrero, in a pueblo called Calcosotlán, Ocalillo. One of our elders co-founded our school from that pueblo. Nobody's showering. And it's the rainy season. I had my American Western customs already, so I felt like I had to shower. So I asked them for some space and water to shower, and they gave me about 3 gallons of water. I tried to use half a gallon. That's not a sacrifice. It's just a reality. And the tanks are full of rainwater. You know, like Lauren has all these tanks here. They have tanks there too. I stayed at a teacher's house. There are parks very close to us that do not have water. And we know that when we turn that tap on, that that's coming from somebody else's land. And they do not have water. And we haven't resolved that here today. But hopefully today we can be a little bit more thankful, understanding those blessings. But there's got to be a balance here somewhere. And I think that that's what's most inspiring for us, that we'd like to make sure that our children, our students, who don't have the privilege of fighting the state of California to get a couple gallons of water from the LA River, but they can witness this, and they can see. And our relatives that come from Mexico and from other parts that come to teach in our school can see what is being done here. And we can think about it differently and come up with a different solution. Because there are other parts of Guerrero that do have a river, a huge river. And so, not too long ago, a Nahuatl conference was held in defensa del agua y la vida. And across Mexico, the Congreso Nacional Indígena marched to defend the right to the water, because their companies are coming from Canada to mine the territories in Nahuatl territory to extract gold. The gold rush is not over, folks. And how are they extracting their gold? With water. Where there's no water. And then they're bottling on other sites the water and selling it back to the people in bottled water, because we're convinced that our water is not clean. Why is it not clean? Because they're mining the gold. And all of that is running off into the rivers, into the soil water. I was asked to provide a land acknowledgement, but all of this is connected. And this river and these waterways are all connected, and all of you are all connected. And so let's walk away today thinking that this inspiration that we have is again a call to action. And some of us don't need that. We wake up, we dream, we think all day long, all night long. This is part of our reality. It's in our fiber. The fiber of our being. I know that you're here among us that way. The truth is, though, I don't know what my children's lives are going to be like. I don't know what your children's lives are going to be like. It's a very unpredictable times right now.